Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
My name's Ashton Smith, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. I'm Derek Kernahan, and today I'm joined by a man who's taken UK wrestling scene by storm, both as a singles competitor and also in a very successful tag team in POD with Rampage Brown. It's Ashton Smith. Ashton, first of all, thank you very much for doing this, and secondly, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, and thank you very much for being so patient with me. I think we were supposed to do this months ago, but I'm terrible at replying and organising my time, so it's good to finally get the find some time to do it.
Not a problem, and like I said, it's really nice to have you on the show. So, first question, as we usually, this is one of more of our generic ones that we ask everybody when we interview them, is what got you into wrestling?
I think, I don't remember it. I know this is kind of like corny and cliche to say that, like, I've been watching wrestling from before I remember, but like legit, my mum would tell me stories of me watching wrestling, but it's before I could remember as a child. Kind of the first bits that I do recall was watching it with my brother. So I presume it was my brother that watched it, and just being a younger brother, I just kind of followed whatever he did. And I remember I had two favorites. So I had the Big Boss Man and Razor Ramon were my two favorite. And then my brother said to me, they had a match, and I don't think it was a big match. It might've just been something on whatever it was at the time, where it was Saturday main event or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember they had a match and my brother just said, oh, you have to choose one. And then from that day, then I was a massive Razor Ramon fan.
That's like Big Brothers, isn't it, doing that to you? I've got one of them myself who's on the pod as well, and you know, I totally feel where you're coming from, mate. There, definitely.
We had the same situation a few years later on when we were still watching it, and it was Rock and Austin.
Yes.
He was like, he had dibs on The Rock because he was older, and I secretly loved The Rock more, but he was like, no, you can't support The Rock because The Rock's mine, so I was kind of with Austin. And then I think it's when The Rock turned heel when he joined with Vince, and then my brother was like, I don't like it anymore, you could have him. He's been playing for life ever since.
Oh man, that's not good. That's for you, man. Not. That's not fair at all. Has it been the younger brother?
I got my way in the end, though. It's all right.
Nah, you've done all right for yourself anyway. So can you tell us just a wee bit about your background in the wrestling industry? Obviously, you've been in a number of different promotions throughout the years and stuff like that. Do you mind just giving us a wee bit of background on yourself?
Yeah, so I was living in Birmingham at the time. I was born in Birmingham, lived in Birmingham until I came to uni. And I came to uni late. So I was probably in Birmingham for like the first 22 years of my life. And I'd always loved wrestling. So I was playing football a lot, but it was more sort of my dad that was pushing me into playing football.
Right.
Kind of at this stage, I was getting a little bit older and I was more interested in wrestling. I'd kind of half given up on football and stuff. So I'd always said about, it'd be amazing to find a wrestling school, because I'd heard about one through one of my friends, which was in an area not far from me, about 15 minutes. But I'm so kind of like laid back and lazy and lethargic that I never actually went out to go find it. And I remember I was walking down the road with my mate after school one day, and we seen a poster on a car windscreen, and we was actually talking about wrestling at the time, and he pulled it off and he was like, oh, my wrestling school in quotation marks. And it was like, it's literally opening about 2 minutes away from my house. So I grabbed the flyer and I was like, I'll call it for us. And then same thing with me being lazy, I kind of left it on the side and then never called it. And then my friends, little brothers actually started going to that wrestling training. And he said, it's amazing. So I was like, oh my God. And then the next week I went there. So we started going, and it was literally in a garage, like not a big garage, in somebody's like car garage. It was like a long garage, probably a two car long garage. And it was about three layers of carpet and three sofa cushions in the middle. That's where that's where I learned to bump and that's why I'm so terrible now. It was incredible. I always say that's like, I think everyone, that's their most exciting time in wrestling, when everything's brand new, and it was there, and that was my start. And it was basically just a guy called Richard Caulfield.
Yeah.
Who he doesn't wrestle anymore, but he was wrestling for a promotion called Sovereign Championship Wrestling. It was SCW. That was in Birmingham. He just kind of took it on himself just to start, or I don't know, it was to make some extra money or whatnot, but it was absolutely incredible. I think from SCW, there's probably four or five guys still going. So you've got the Hunter Brothers.
Yeah.
They were there. They weren't at training, but they was already wrestling on the shows at this point. And then you've got the Clark Brothers, who are twins, that they're, I think that one of them still wrestles for FCW, which is like a promotion in Birmingham. And then Brandon Thomas, who does sort of the All-Star and does the holiday camps and stuff like that. So not too many going, but that was my start, was getting on those shows. And then there's always a moment, and every time I'm training people, I always say, and even when I'm speaking to people who are out on the scene now, I always ask them and say, when was that the light bulb moment for you? Because I think it's a lot different now. This is crazy. This is what a lot of people don't understand. You've got so many incredible training schools now that people's light get switched on from the start. But us back then, so I was talking about, I think I was 15 at the time. So that's like, so it's about 16 years ago. I was 14, 15. So it's about 16 years ago.
Okay.
And not many people shared the secret of what made people better. So we kind of learnt basic wrestling, but we always knew, so you would know something was missing. And then it wasn't until you have that light bulb moment where somebody switches it on for you that you're like, oh, okay, and it starts to click and it starts to make sense and you actually start to get better. Like, the guys nowadays, they're lucky because it gets done from the beginning. But at that stage, in the beginning, when I first started, there was very few who was kind of sharing the secrets. There was a handful of guys that would go out of their way to help you. And luckily for me, two of them, one, Spud, who's now Drake Maverick,
yes,
WWE, which is crazy.
Yeah.
For me, he's always there just above me. So he got brought in to do a show there, and Jack Storm as well, who's not wrestling anymore, who's absolutely incredible. I still think he's probably one of the best heels that we've had in this country today. Mm-hmm. I'd had a match, and I think I'd probably had two or three matches at this point, and I'd had a match, and then them two were the main event of the show. And it wasn't until like a couple of months after I got the DVD and I was watching it, and I watched my match, and I remember thinking, this looks nothing like WWE matches. And I had no clue what it was, but I just knew that this was completely different to what I was seeing on wrestling. And then I watched their match in the main event, and that was WWE wrestling. Do you know what I mean? It was like a stark contrast in terms of structure, in terms of storytelling, selling. Everything was just completely different. And this was back in MSN days, so I just kind of reached out to him and was like, what do I need to do to get better? And he was like, you've got a long way to go, but here's a guy called Barry Charalumbus, who's trained like a hell of a lot of guys. He's in London, but it'll be the best thing you ever do. So from there, every Saturday, I started getting the coach down to London, and that's when things really started to tick for me.
Wow,
that's a long one. I'm a big talker, I apologize.
No, that's great. So it must have been quite a big upturn for you then, having to travel to, you know, being Asia and traveling from Birmingham to London every weekend. Was that quite a change for you then, would you say?
Yeah, it was killer, because I'd never really gone out much. Like, I never really hung out on the streets or anything like that. I would just kind of hang with my brothers, play computer games. So I think I got a full-time job. It was actually my original trainer was the one that got me it. And then I started using that money to get the National Express down, which was like £36 return.
Right.
But it was like a three-hour journey each way.
Yeah.
That was every Saturday. But again, I absolutely loved it, because that was just learning on a whole nother level. So
yeah.
It was big, but I absolutely loved it.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And the dedication as well that, you know, that you put into it, you know, to do that, is, you know, very commendable as well.
Mm.
I was looking through a bit about your career and stuff like that, and you took a bit of break from wrestling for a few years, didn't you? Is that correct?
Yeah.
We're just wondering, what made you decide to take the break? What were you doing in between, and what made you return?
This was good. You know, I've always wanted to be asked this question, and I never was. So at the time, I was doing the Dorit Coffee gimmick. It was the Jamaican bobsledder. So I don't know if you've come across this. And that had come across from Spud sending me a link to a fancy dress shop saying, buy this for Halloween and we'll go out. And it was just kind of went on from there. So I bought the suit, and then Barry made it into a gimmick. So I started wrestling as Dorit Coffee, who was wrestling to earn money to go to the Winter Olympics. I think it was. And one of the benefits of that is I was really skinny at the time. I'm still quite slim now. Like, I've got a really thin frame. So having the full bodysuit and having such a wild character was kind of a way to get me on shows and disguise these things. So I was doing that for a long time. I was having quite a lot of success. Like, I was getting bookings here, there, and everywhere. But there's only so far that the comedy guy can go. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be the main event. I think everyone that's wrestling wants to be that top guy. And if you don't, then you probably shouldn't be wrestling, or you're probably not going to last that long. Because what drives you to keep doing it if you're content in the spot you're in? So then I started to get frustrated. And one of the places that I really wanted to work as well, because at this time, it seemed like the only way to WWE was through All-Star Wrestling.
Okay, and
I'd done a couple of shows there, but Brian Dixon wasn't too keen on me. So I just remember thinking, oh God, and I was kind of, it kind of gutted me, and I started to think, oh, well, maybe this isn't going to happen. You know, maybe I'm not going to get there. And I started doubting myself and kind of got down on myself. And I was like, I'm not really happy just doing the comedy thing. I want to be a main event guy. And then as well, I was pretty much wrestling full time at this stage as well. T-Bone had kind of took me under his wing, and we was doing ring jobs. He would give me money for the ring jobs. We'd get on shows. He'd put me on more shows and stuff. So I was earning my living through that. So I was kind of working full time. So then it got to a point where I thought, right, maybe WWE is not an option, and I'm not really earning that much money. I'm not wrestling like three times a weekend. I'm not really earning too much money. And I wanted to learn to drive, because I think I was about 17, 18 at the time. So I wanted to learn to drive. I just wanted to have a lot of money. So I just kind of come away from it, and I started working full time.
Right.
So I just started working full time. I was like, I'm just going to take a break. And I wasn't ever going to come back to it at this point. And then I ended up changing my mind and going to Manchester for uni.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And then I was at Man Met University, and then a show came about called HXC Wrestling, which was Dave Rain was doing the booking for it as well. So I was like, oh, and you kind of get that itch whenever anybody goes away from it. They're lying if they say they don't get the itch and you don't kind of keep an eye on it to see what's going on. So I sent a message to Dave Rain, and I was like, oh, you know, this is at my uni. I pretty much know everyone. See, that I'd get quite a large turnout to come to the show. But he was like, no, we're fine. And he didn't rate me at this point. So he was like, no, we're fine. We don't really need it. The car's full. I was like, oh, right, okay, that's fine, whatever. And then T-Bone and Keith Colwell, who's wrestlers of Roughneck for WAW, they went directly to the promoter and was like, here's this guy, he's really good. Like, he goes to the uni, do you know what I mean? He can help bring a lot of people in. So then he messaged me and was like, no, we're going to get you in. And that was my first comeback, was...
Great.
Was then.
Yeah. You see, you were mentioning there, like, you know, guys saying, you know, they didn't like the gimmick. Was that difficult to take? Did you find that demoralizing, or else was there a way of you just like going, you know what, I know that I'm good. I'm going to prove you wrong.
Yeah, it was really a bit of both. So I think Spud, or Drake Maverick, he's, as well as Dave Mastiff and Barry, my trainer, they've always ploughed me with confidence, and they've always said, like, you've got something that maybe other people don't have. And they've always, having that support in the back of my head has made me think, like, yeah, maybe I can really do this. But then you kind of have setbacks, and then that kind of gets in your head. So it just becomes a battle of two different voices in your head, really. And I think at that time when I decided to step away, the voices of maybe you're not cut out for this, really, is that kind of won over, which is why I kind of took the break away. But then as I was on my way of coming back, I thought, right, I'm going to come back seriously. I'm going to come back as a serious gimmick and get bigger, da, 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 and then come back and then really push myself into that main event.
Right, yeah.
And then I think I needed that sort of fuel, that fire relighting. And that's what the break did for me, really.
That's what
the break did, because I was doing a lot of like poor shows at the time as well, where like 5 people would turn up or 10 people would turn up. And it was at that stage where you never knew if you was going to get sort of 100 or 200, which was a strong draw at the time, or 10. And I was kind of doing a lot of those shows, and that started to get me down as well. So when I decided to come back, I was like, I'm only going to do the one that all of my mates are on, and all of the ones that I want to do and I really enjoy, and I'm going to push myself into that main event picture. So always having people support me and just having a new drive, I think, is what's helped me get to where I am now.
Yeah, and like you were saying, you know, you coming back and being the main event guys, and then you going to some of the, you know, the promotions that you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I think most of the people, well, there will be quite a few people who have seen you in other things, but most people that listen to us will associate you with ICW, which is where we've got a big fan base from, and pretty much everybody that's on all the podders that are on here, I'll go to, well, most of the shows. If we don't go to all of them, we go to most of them.
Yeah.
You obviously won the tag team titles pretty much. I think you had 2 other matches, and then you just came to Glasgow in a cold night in January, and you and Rampage won the belts off Apollo Promotions. First of all, what's it like, you know, being in ICW? What was it like teaming up with Andre Brown, and what's it like, of course, having the wee man as your manager?
This is not just because I'm there, but I think ICW was one of the biggest things to happen in my wrestling at that time. Just seeing the crazy things that they were doing at the time and how popular they were. It was something that I always had an eye on as soon as I heard about them, and I thought that would be incredible to get there. So then when I got the email or the message, whatever it was at the time, that was like, we're going to bring you in and tag him with Rampage, who I just kind of recently started tagging with. I was thinking, absolutely incredible. Like,
yeah,
I felt a stronger package tagging with Rampage. So I was absolutely buzzing to do that, to come into ICW. And I'd not long met Joe and Mark Coffey at the time, and I'd always really got on with them as well. So I knew there was a couple of people there that I was excited to see again and hang out with. So
yeah,
the first couple that we got to do was incredible. You know, they brought us in. It was the old school squash matches that nobody does anymore. We just kind of ran through a few people, and it just out of nothing just really built up some steam for us. So when it come to the tag title match with Apollo Promotions, it was just an incredible feeling to be in that position. And I didn't know what was going to happen at the time until I got there. I was like, oh my god, we was buzzing. I didn't even know it was a tag title match at the time until I got there. So when we had that, and then I was like, we're going to give you another manager as well, who's Wee Man. And I think I'd met him and said hello to him a couple of times, but I've never actually had a proper conversation with him. Didn't really know too much about him at the time. But when he come out, and just speaking to him backstage, when he come out and he cut that promo before announcing us, it was just incredible. And I think that's the connection that me and Rampage needed to the ICW fans, because ICW fans, I think they're the most loyal fan base of Scottish wrestlers. Anyone, their own wrestlers, they're the most loyal, extreme and passionate fans that I've ever been in front of. And sometimes, you know, coming from England, it can be difficult to get that same sort of, it sounds like acceptance is a weird word, but it is that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That kind of weird acceptance. And I think Wee Man was one of the things that helped, you know, bring us in and connect us to that audience.
Yes, yeah, it definitely.
It was obviously winding them up at the time, as he does so brilliantly, but it was exactly what we needed. And I just remember that introduction. And our music hitting and the crowd. And we didn't know how they was going to react, because we'd only tagged there a handful of times.
Yeah.
And then just that roar of when our music hit and the announcement that it was me and Rampage, it was just an exciting feeling. It's when you get those moments that you know that whatever you're going to do, that night's going to go down well. And
yes,
it did for us. And it was just incredible to have the surefire, a short, sharp match. And I think that's kind of what we built our reputation on. So to actually get given a belt at ICW was massive. A lot of wrestlers say that a belt's just a prop and you don't need them. I've never believed that. If that makes sense, I've never believed, and it's, especially with ICW Tag Team Champions, it's something to be proud of, and it's also a pressure because they're relying on you to be a draw and to improve that division. And I think the two runs that we've had as Tag Team Champions, I'd like to think that we've done that, and the Tag Team divisions, not that it wasn't before, because the Apollo Promotions are probably my favourite tag team in Britain, Britain today. I'd love to see them start tagging again.
It'd be great to see them tagging again.
I think everybody wants that. And that's another match that I would love as well. I would love to have that rematch. We never really had that rematch. They kind of went off to their own incredible things. But it's just, I think you always have to take it from the next guys and take it to the next level. And then when Shaw and Jack Jester took the belts from us, they did the same. Mm-hmm. And he took it back and did the same. And now it's Kings of Catch's turn to do the game and take it to the next level. So for me, it never once felt like just a prop. It was always something to be proud of, and it was always something that was just kick on now and keep giving your all.
Yeah, one of the things that sort of, didn't surprise us, but it gave us that shock factor was, you know, that how dominant you were in that match against Apollo Promotions, first of all, to win the belt. And I think it was a great way of doing it.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I was there that night, and it was fantastic to see. And then obviously he's won the belt back again, you know, at Fear and Loathing at the Hydro. What was it like wrestling at the Hydro?
That was incredible. So that was, even though at that time I'd signed to WWE, that was the first time I'd done a sort of arena show.
Yeah.
So it was just a massive, that was incredible. It was something that we'd always had sort of our eyes set on. When we first won the belts, we both kind of had our sight on making it to the Hydro.
Yeah,
and being involved in that. So when we eventually got to it and we sort of come back, we was in the ladder match, it was just
an
incredible feeling. I remember that everyone makes an effort, everyone gets really suited and booted, and you know, it's a big thing where the ICW were a professional company, so everyone likes to look like the bee's knees, and I drove up from Manchester or maybe even Birmingham on that one, and every time I travel, I'm traveling in jogging bottoms and comfies, just because the venue, the first person I walk into is Dallas, and it's like, yeah, now you could have made an effort. You know what I mean? Oh my god, I'm getting sent home already, I know.
But, yeah. One of the other questions as well, like I say, we've got a big, massive ICW fan base. Can we expect to see you back in ICW anytime soon?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we're getting rid of us soon. We may take a little time away, but I think the beauty of us is it's always unexpected when we do come back, and we always kind of raise hell as soon as we do. It's a nice sort of shock value we have. So
great. Great, I think. A lot of our viewers will be happy to see he's back in ICW very soon anyway.
Absolutely.
So obviously, like we mentioned there before, the WWE, you know, the NXT UK stuff all came about then. How did the trial come about, Ashton, for you?
So this is a little bit of a long story as well. I'll try and kind of make it short. But I'd always, back when I was wrestling, even like before I took a break, when I was wrestling, I always just wanted to know if they knew who I was. That's all I ever wanted to know. I just wanted to know if they knew who I was, or if they'd ever seen me, or they'd ever come across me, because we was kind of getting word that, yeah, like Regal watches a lot of the stuff, and, you know, they're always keeping their eyes on it and stuff. So I was like, I was wondering if they'd ever seen me. Probably around the times that all the sort of the UK stuff was being fought up, and a few people had come to shows, and I was wrestling a promotion in Mansfield at the time called Hope Wrestling.
Okay.
And the show I wasn't there, somebody from WWE came to watch, and I think that's the show that they seen Pete, and then Future Shock, which I was on every show, but then the one show I wasn't booked on, somebody from WWE came there, and I was just starting to get these things again. It's like, I'm jinxed. I don't know what's going on. I'm just jinxed. And then one of my friends told me, and was like, he was basically like, they know who you are. They've seen the stuff that you do at ICW, and they're really impressed. They really like it. And I just remember almost, I could have cried at that point. It's one of those motions where if you want to, you could let go and tip it over. And I could have cried. I just remember being so happy, as sort of cheesy as that sounds. But that was all I'd ever looked for like the last sort of 6-7 years of my life, was to know. And to know that they was impressed and actually liked me was just incredible. And that's why I kind of will always have a sort of special place in my heart for ICW, because it was, I feel like it was through that they did eventually see me and see what I could do, and that worked. So that was incredible. Then there was tryouts in Manchester, and T-Bone, again, always looking out.
Yeah.
T-Bone had put me forward for it and said, this guy's worth taking a look at. So we got the emails back to say the sort of tryout was confirmed, and then the next thing you knew was Mark Coffey was there as well. I'm pretty sure, I don't even know if he needed to be there, he just wanted to be. So as soon as that was there, Mark is like my calming influence. No matter what kind of stressful situation I'm in, if I'm there with Mark Coffey, I know he'll make me laugh, and I know he'll make me relax.
Oh, that's so brilliant.
I always just stick with him. I just sort of tag on to him, and he always puts me in a positive mental state that I know I could just go and do my best then, because you see a lot of guys just really tight and really, really tense, really stressed and concerned. And if you're doing something simple like just rolls, warming up, if a guy messes up a roll, you can see it in his face, and he thinks that he's blown his chance of getting signed just by stumbling on a roll. And if I get in that mind state, like I'm just terrible and I'm no good to anyone. So yeah, just being relaxed and happy, that's kind of when you get the best out of me. So having guys around like Mark and stuff is just incredible.
Yeah, that's a great story. That's absolutely amazing. Yeah. And like you also mentioned in NXT UK, you know, is it weird you playing a babyface in the NXT while playing a heel in the indies that you're on? Because most of the, you know, in ICW and things like that, we would obviously recognise as a heel. Is it weird, you know, doing the two different?
You know, I loved it. It's something that I've always done. So even back from the start, Therese Coffey, I was also wrestling as D-Rock in sort of 1PW as a heel. So it's something that I've always done both. And luckily, I've always been able to do both and to switch into both. So I think the majority of my career, and probably the most success I've had as a face. So it was no surprise to me to work there as a face, but just me and Rampage as a heel in ICW just works incredibly.
Yeah, it does. It really does. So,
yeah, but I enjoy both sides. I feel maybe my work in the ring is probably a little bit better when I'm a face and when I've got the support of the crowd. But I feel like any kind of mic work or charisma or character, I think that comes out much better when I am a heel. So I enjoy, I just love that side as well. So
yeah. Yeah, I think you're great at both of them anyway. Just from my point of view, I think you're fantastic at both of them. Just regarding the NXT division, are you, the UK division, are you surprised to see it take off as well as it has? Or else do you think it was something that, you know, that WWE needed to do for a number of years, you know, sort of thing like that? Do you think, are you surprised how well it's taken off?
It's not so much surprise, it's just you're always hoping that it does, and you're not sure if it is ever going to. But thanks to sort of a brilliant sort of vision from those guys at WWE, where they're like, let's really tap into sort of the source of talent directly in the UK, and, you know, they're doing tryouts in India and stuff. So them having that drive and vision, when they say that they're going to do stuff, they do it, and they make a real good job of it. That's no surprise at all, but just being a part of it is absolutely incredible. And I think in terms of NXT UK, I think every show that we do, you can see that the talent's getting better and better and better every time. So we all just want to keep getting better and pushing on and making the show as big as possible.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And it's so great, like, from us being a fan, to able to see, you know, a WWE program for guys, you know, in the UK, it's fantastic for us fans as well to see that happen. So Mr. Garson, how do you think you've done so far in NXT UK? Are you quite happy with your performances?
I think I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
As I kind of said at the start, everyone always wants more, and everybody wants to be that top guy. So where I am at the moment, I want more. And to get more, it's on me. I know that I need to improve. And the coaches that we have there are absolutely incredible. It's world class. And I think everyone kind of says this, that when you sign to WWE, it's like learning wrestling from the beginning. It's like starting from day one. It doesn't matter how much years experience you've had. As soon as you're there, it's just a whole different ball game. And having the coaches like Robbie Brookside and Johnny Moss, Johnny Saint, and the strength and conditioning coach that we have is Sean Hayes, it's just literally everything is incredible. And I can see myself improving so much every time that we're down there at the Performance Center, and then the next set of live shows, I can feel myself getting better and better. So inside, I feel like I'm ready to explode as soon as I'm let out that cage. Now I feel like I'm ready for it. I don't know how ready I was for it when I'd first signed, if that kind of makes sense.
And yeah, of
now
course, yeah.
I'm kind of waiting for that next thing, and just keep your head down and keep working hard. That's basically it.
Yeah, like I say, a lot of the guys from the pod are going to the NXT UK division in Glasgow, so we'll all be rooting for you there at that show anyway, mate, definitely.
This is it. Scotland's like my second home. My third home, because I've got Birmingham, then I've got Manchester. So then I remember when they was like, oh yeah, we're going to Scotland, and all the Scottish lads were buzzing, and I buzzed. So I don't know if I'm quite accepted as Scottish yet, but I feel like I'm coming in the back door. Do you know what I mean? As much as I can. I'm into square sliced sausage. I haven't had a fried Mars bar yet, but like my wife's half Scottish, and do you know what I mean? We're always with her side of the family. The McDougals, they are, so they're a proud Scottish
family. That's very Scottish. Yes,
that is as most Scottish as you can get, right?
So yeah, exactly.
Just, that whole culture, it's just a crazy culture thing at the moment that I love everything about it. Just the banter that you get from you guys is second to none. And I just, it's incredible. So for me, coming to Glasgow for WWE UK, it's like, it feels like it's another kind of home match for me, because a lot of the shows that we've done at the moment have been right down south, like sort of around London based and such.
Yeah.
Where in terms of my sort of wrestling, I'm maybe not as well known there now as I was. If it had been in my first sort of stint with wrestling, and I was doing quite a lot of shows down in London and that area. But ever since I came back, I never went that far. So I'm kind of, a lot of people are maybe seeing me for the first time, but then now we've kind of come up north, and I feel like there's going to be a few familiar faces in the crowd, and I can't wait. It's going to be a show like no other. The Scottish audiences are absolutely crazy. So yeah, it's so exciting for NXT UK to be there, and especially how prominent, you know, that Gallus are there as well. So that's going to be a crazy reaction. I'd bet my house on it.
But it's going to be brilliant. Like I said, if you hear a few shouts, that'll be from the ESSR guys. That'll be from us giving you a cheer anyway.
I'm going to need it.
Yeah, mate, we'll be there supporting you, absolutely. You'll probably hear the loudest scream, like I said to you before we started, from my niece Lucy, who's a massive fan. She's a 9-year-old. She's been on the pod and all that, talking about wrestling. She loves wrestling, so if you hear the scream, it'll probably be from her.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So just a few more questions, if that's okay. So
yeah,
one of the ones we always like, I like to ask as well, you know, obviously with all the experience that you've picked up in wrestling, if we had to list them, obviously we'd be here for quite a while, but looking back at your wrestling debut, what advice would you give yourself with all the experience that you've picked up along the way?
I'm going back to speaking to myself for the first time?
Yes.
Before the baby?
Yeah. If you could go back and speak to yourself, what would you say?
I'd have told myself to take off the fire t-shirt that I was wearing and the Adidas 3/4 left bottom. That would have been the first thing. it would have just been to relax and enjoy it. And that's it, really. That's at that stage, I think that's all you can do is just relax and be as confident as be as confident as humanly possible at that time, because confidence can cover anything in my eyes. And I think that's kind of a key part. You always know when somebody's slightly new just from their body language and how confident they are. So I just think you can get through any situation. I've learned this in real full-time work. If you're confident enough and you say something with enough conviction, people will believe you.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I would say to myself debut.
Yeah, great. That's great advice. I think I'm going to be taking that on as well now as well for my career.
Absolutely.
So what does the future hold for Aston Smith going forward then?
Absolutely no idea. I just know I don't feel like personally I've had that moment where I've actually exploded on the wrestling scene. Mm-hmm. And it's now this year, especially this is my aim to make it this year, to really get my name out there. I've been wrestling for sort of 15, 16 years now, but I've never really pushed myself. And obviously now having the WWE back in, it's putting me in front of eyes that have never even heard of me. So I think this year or the next, I think this is the year where stuff really takes off for me and I really kind of build my own brand and my own name.
Yeah, great, great. That's awesome. So just before we finish up, we usually like to do a few quick fire questions. If that's all right at you.
This is when I get in trouble. This is when I say something stupid. I know it, but let's do it.
So the first one is singles or tag?
Tag.
PlayStation or Xbox?
PlayStation.
Rampage or Wii Man?
Oh, Rampage. Sorry, Rampage. Just in case you got in a bar fight, it would be Rampage. Though,
Rampage, yeah. He's always there. He's a big guy, isn't he? Back you up. Favourite venue that you've wrestled in?
It was the... Is it the ABC?
The ABC, yeah.
The ABC.
Great place. ABC.
Loved it.
Yeah. Favourite match that you've been in?
It was against Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
Great. Single. Your favourite tag partner?
Rampage.
And lastly, obviously we had a wee chat earlier on about what football team we talk, so Josie or Ollie?
Ollie. 100%.
Ollie. All the way, Ollie.
All the way, yeah.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you very much for your time. It's been great speaking to you. And, you know, it's part of the Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retreat team. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. I just want to thank you guys too, because, I mean, it's guys like yourselves that help push the British scene to new listeners or to, you know, give exposure to guys who maybe people haven't heard of. And I think it's an incredibly important thing that guys like you do. So I just want to thank you, myself, and just for inviting me on the show. Means a lot.
The honour's been all mine. And just last we'll finish up, where can of yours find you on social media?
So social media, I just changed it. I think it's AstonSmith_WWE.
Right, okay.
Pretty sure that's it on Twitter and Instagram.
Great, great. Like I said, Aston, thank you very much for your time and thank you to you guys for listening. Until next time, speak to you soon. Thanks, Aston.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Listen, cunts, I don't care what the you think you're doing, whatever you think is more important with your life, you honking bag of dick tips. You know what you should be doing? You should be going online, you should be subscribing, you should be listening to the back catalogue of Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet, whatever the fuck you're doing, that's what you should be doing. I don't care if it's your mum's birthday, I don't care if she's feeling contractions, get on it right now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.